So, hi everybody, it's Angela here, and I had a really great day today, kind of exploring boundaries with some friends of mine. We're all reading a really great book together called Boundaries and Protection by a woman named Pixie Lighthorse, and I'm actually teaching a whole 7-week spiritual painting course that is kind of centered around this conversation around boundaries with people and protecting ourselves and really good self-care and all the things that come with creating sacred relationships. And we had some really great conversations today, kind of exploring what it looks like to create some good boundaries. And one of the things that we talked about was how good boundaries are more value-based than they are rule-based. It a little bit reminds me of kind of how I've chosen to be a parent is, instead of having a lot of rules to really focus and stress the values of our family, it feels like when you have rules, they have very short lifespans, you know, like rules apply to very specific situations, and say with children, rules apply to specific circumstances and applies to them at very specific ages, and so they're kind of always changing, whereas values only deepen. And so we can grow, the depth of our values can grow and kind of almost like ripen, we get wiser in those values over time, whereas rules become obsolete. And also when we create rules, we have to defend them. If we're going to kind of draw a line in the sand, then all of a sudden we have to defend it. And as a parent, I really didn't want to spend a lot of time doing that with my kids, where I needed to defend a whole bunch of lines in the sand. Maybe it was in part out of just a sheer desire to have to do less work as a parent that I opted for being more value-based. And what I have actually found when, you know, not having drawn really clear lines in the sand, making rules, is that there are very few times when we've actually had to address kind of violations of our values, of those larger values, because the value, learning from a value position, you kind of get the whys behind the rules, so the rules become obsolete. In some ways, values are more sophisticated versions of rules. And when we make boundaries for ourselves, I think the same can be true. I think, you know, in some relationships, you may need actual rules, actual kind of black and white boundaries that you create in that relationship. But I would suggest those relationships are probably few, probably your lowest functioning relationships might need some pretty clear boundaries. But overall, hopefully those boundaries that we create are based on the values that we're trying to cultivate in ourselves and in our relationships. And really when we're cultivating values, only we need to be the ones kind of embodying those values. In some ways, we don't even need anyone else to participate with us in the creation of value-based boundaries, because they live within our hearts. And so we get to make a whole bunch of decisions about the way we choose to be in the world, and we either are letting things in that are kind of aligned with that, or we're saying a polite no thank you to the things that don't align with those values. When I was first starting to do this boundary work, I kind of imagined boundaries, you know, a metaphor for doing this boundary work is kind of like having a property line. And you know, when we aren't aware of where our property line is, then other people's stuff, our neighbor who might just be, you know, a bit of a junk collector in his backyard, his stuff might start to come over into encroach upon our space. And when we don't know where we begin and someone else ends, it's very difficult to insist on good boundaries, because we don't really have, we can't really stake a claim to that space. It's kind of this gray area that no one is claiming. But when we are aware of our property line, then we get to say, no, thank you. Actually, all of your stuff you're collecting needs to stay on your property line. So there's a quality of boundaries that keeps things out. And the other thing that boundaries do is it allows an intentional, conscious space inside which we can choose to cultivate what we value. And so, you know, in terms of using a kind of a land or a property metaphor, when we know where our piece of land is that we're responsible for, we're caretaking and stewarding this land, then we know we have this kind of space to, you know, cultivate whatever garden we want or take care of the water or whatever is on that land. And the same is true within us. Often, especially, you know, through our childhood, so much of other people's stuff is kind of it encroaches on our sovereign internal space. We, in some ways, inherit the stories, beliefs, and energies of our parents and the people that we're around. And, you know, it's in most ways, we can't even blame them for that because they also inherited it from their parents, and we're all kind of doing our best. And so here we are now becoming aware of ourselves, and we can almost extricate that stuff that isn't ours from our kind of inner world now that we're aware of where our space is and where someone else's space is. So, you know, one of the practices that I use that can be really helpful is actually doing a meditation to become aware of your energetic space. And maybe I'll do that on a future podcast. There's a little, like a chakra clearing meditation. So, you know, you kind of imagine what your energy field feels like, and you're sensing what's in there, what is yours, all the stuff we're carrying inside, some of it is yours, and so we become aware of it, and then we kind of release the stuff that isn't ours, and so we have kind of a clearer internal space. So the same is happening, you know, in our relationships. We get to declare what stays out, and we get to declare what we're trying to cultivate in that space. And in our heart space, we might be trying to cultivate certain qualities like confidence or forgiveness or creativity or love or compassion. And so when we take responsibility for ourselves energetically, spiritually, mentally, physically, all of these things, we then are also responsible in some ways to, it's almost like when the universe comes to our property line, it meets us, it comes up to us, and we kind of vet what's trying to come through, and we say either, yes, you are in alignment with the values that I'm trying to cultivate, or no, thank you, that is out of integrity with this thing that I'm trying to do in my life or who I'm trying to be in my life. And so we say no thank you. And sometimes it's opportunity that comes our way. Sometimes it's simple things like media, or maybe it's sometimes, yeah, sometimes our friends are, you know, people that are in our life that may or may not be a fit at a certain time, depending on where we're at and what we need in that moment. And so, yeah, we're just getting more skilled at knowing and making some decisions around who do we want to be, and how can I kind of guardian that and nurture that person that I want to be as best as I can. And so we're also, there's almost like a quality of vigilance that's required to be aware of what's happening around us, to see whether it's a yes or a no for us. And you know, one of the other things we kind of talked about today is that, and this is why it feels even more important that our boundaries are value-based rather than rule-based, is that they're also like living, responsive things. You know, our boundaries, when boundaries are really rigid, there's only two things that can happen. Things bounce off them, or they're broken. And so those don't seem like ideal options. To me, what feels useful is to be conscious in the way that I'm applying my boundaries all the time. For example, you know, the boundaries that I have with intimate, close friends, my soul family people in my life, would look really different than someone that I might just meet on the street, or someone that I actually have some kind of conflict with or I don't feel safe with. Those boundaries are going to look really different. And so there's not kind of this blanket yes or a blanket no situation happening. So the challenge in being more value-based is that we actually have to take more time in understanding ourselves and what it is that we want and why we want that thing. And then making choices in our life around whether or not something fits that kind of standard. And like I said earlier, you know, sometimes it only requires us to be the ones to understand what our boundaries are. Even when we're in relationships with people, they don't necessarily need to know what our boundaries are. Sometimes it's useful. Obviously, there's times when, you know, even in, you know, intimate, long-term relationships, I am a big fan of making conscious agreements about why we're together. I do that with my partner. We've done that, you know, every couple of years we'll kind of revisit our agreement around how we're choosing to be together and why. So sometimes that those agreements can be really explicit. It's wonderful when that is. And then there's other times when maybe you need to address a boundary with somebody that's been violating a boundary and make it clear. But a lot of the time, our boundaries are values that we have about ourselves and the way we want to be in the world, what's acceptable or not acceptable to us in the simplest terms. And we're the only ones that are really carrying a clear understanding of that, and no one else really needs to know it, because our energy is already giving off a bunch of information. And so when we hold our boundaries more clearly, we're actually probably less likely to have to defend them at all, because we're less kind of available to get through those boundaries. There's less likelihood that we're going to be treated in ways that are, you know, absolute no's for us in our life. So I hope this was helpful for you. One of the exercises that we talked about was this three-ring exercise, it's called, and it was, I read it in Julia Cameron's Artist Way book. And essentially the three-ring exercise is like you literally draw three rings, and in the inner ring, you would maybe in the center of that ring, you would write, say, a project or a thing in your life that you're kind of, a quality in your life, maybe something new that you're working on that's kind of just brand new, something that feels like really vulnerable about yourself, maybe a new decision you're making. And you kind of put that right in the center. And then in that center ring with that very vulnerable part of yourself that's just growing, and really we're all constantly growing new parts of ourselves, so you could probably put, you know, new centers all the time. But around that center, you would put the names of people who would actually contribute nutrients, support, and light to that vulnerable aspect of yourself. So people that you know for sure, without fail, are going to contribute only good things when you tell them about this project. And then there's like the second ring people, who maybe would be kind of neutral. They might not add anything to it. They might just be neutral to it. And so as the seedling gets bigger, as that aspect of you gets bigger and stronger, then you would maybe expose it to the second ring people. So your center ring people, you could share it with them anytime, and you know it would be safe and loved, and would actually, they would love it into being with you. And the second ring people would be people you'd share it with after it's gotten a bit of strength. Maybe it's a little bit bigger than a seedling by that point. You can embody it more. And your third ring people are people who might offer resistance. And this is okay. Resistance is okay in our life too. It gives us opportunity to grow when we think about how that works with, say, plants. You know, there is value, you know, if anyone does any perennial gardening, when you have perennial plants, often they suggest not watering the plant regularly, but instead watering it like very sporadically, but very deeply. So what happens then is it finds deeper roots. So it's actually more self-sufficient because it's finding its own source of nutrients. And so there's something similar in that analogy for us. Resistance does the same thing for us, but we need to be at a stage where we're prepared to meet some resistance. Otherwise, the whole thing can be kind of crushed. If you've got, you know, big heavy feet stomping around in our center ring and we've got a tiny little seedling in there, that is not ideal. And so those third ring people we would only share with when we're a little bit stronger. And so then it's really helpful to do it on paper and make it visible, and kind of remind yourself of who's in what ring before you see people, because it's really up to you to remember, like, oh yeah, you're just not, I love you. Like sometimes it's some of our favorite people are in that outer ring. You can say, I love you, but I'm not sharing this thing with you yet. The day will come when I will share it, but it's not today. And so, you know, boundaries is a lot about you making a bunch of decisions about what is okay for you and not okay for you, and then standing behind yourself, standing with yourself, and asserting those boundaries either energetically and sometimes through conversation. And those conversations can be kind too. They don't have to be so difficult. Sometimes they're very direct and a little bit more challenging, but they don't always have to be. Probably most of the time we can do that well as well. So maybe give that a try. Try your three ring exercise and see who's in your circle and who's not. I hope this is helpful for you, and I hope you're creating really good boundaries for yourself. We all need great boundaries. It helps us actually have the space and all the nourishment that we need to become who we actually are, who we are blossoming into. So we're kind of clearing space and seeking light, seeking nutrients through creating a really healthy space for ourselves to grow. Hoping that you are surrounded with love and support wherever you are today.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.